Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for week 7 of our study of the book of Proverbs. My name is Melissa Taylor, and I am joined by my friend and fabulous Bible teacher, someone who you guys are going to be so excited who's with us this weekend, Wendy Blight.
Hi, Melissa. Hey. I love being back. Thank you for inviting me.
So great to have you back in First Five, and I cannot wait to hear what you're going to share with us. I feel like today's really special, and I'm going to get to why in just a minute. But before I do, let's review this week's major moments. Proverbs 27, a true friend counsels and strengthens. Proverbs 28, the law demonstrates great wisdom. Proverbs 29, meekness is a characteristic of wisdom. Proverbs 30, true wisdom comes from an understanding of and reverence for who God is and what he has done. And Proverbs 31, a wise woman is one who fears the Lord. All right, so there has been a lot this week in First Five, but we ended this week with Proverbs 31, and that's what you are going to teach on today, yeah. Wendy. And we have been waiting for this day. Why? Because we're Proverbs 31 Ministries. Yeah, and you know, this book of Proverbs, this chapter of Proverbs, actually, is really the foundation of our ministry. It was the catalyst that started mm-hmm. what we have mm-hmm. today. And so I'm just really excited to hear about the teaching, mm-hmm. especially because yeah. of that.
Well, I'm excited too because it made me study it with so much more purpose mm-hmm. because I felt a burden like to carry this well because it is the foundation of right. which our ministry is. And when I'm finished, I think you're going to be so excited. And I bet a long time ago, we may not have even known what I'm going to teach today.
Right.
I didn't right. when I started working here 15 some years ago.
Super excited. All right, okay. Let's get started.
All right. So first of all, I want to talk about what our culture today tells us about the what it means to be a woman, that what the Bible says, it's outdated.
Right.
Really, you hear that all the time. And it came alive in a political campaign recently where one opponent was speaking in a church and used the words suitable helper and wives submit to their husbands. And his opponent put that out on the news as his
right.
opinion of women are that they're helpers and that they have to submit to their husbands.
Right.
And he took them totally out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he used this as a weapon
right.
as opposed to really looking at what the Bible says. And I think it's really important for us to understand what the Bible says, not what the culture tells us
right.
about Proverbs. And so that's what we're going to do today. And to do that, we need to literally go back to the original language mm-hmm. that the Bible was written in. We need to go back and look from Genesis to Revelation, from Judaism to Christianity, mm-hmm. because all of those speak into what it means to be this Proverbs 31 woman.
That's so interesting.
And so we're going to start in the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis, where we first meet the first woman, right? And so if we go back to Genesis 2:18, it says, "It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And that word helper is a noun, and it's the word E-Z-E-R, but it's pronounced Aitzer in Hebrew. And the reason I'm taking us back to Hebrew, some of you may or may not know that that's the original language that the Old Testament was written in. So this word Aitzer is from the root word of that word and that the verb, which is A-Z-E-R instead of E-Z-E-R. And it means to protect, aid, and help, and includes military assistance. And in at least 15 times, that word Aitzer refers to God and his strength and his help. And it's actually one of the names of God. And Samuel gives God this name after they have fought, the Israelites have defeated the Philistines. Samuel took a stone and set it up, and he named it, scripture tells us, Ebenezer is how we say it. And it said, and he puts that stone there and he says, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." And he intended that stone to commemorate the place where God came in and helped the people defeat their enemy. And in Psalm 33:20, God also calls Lord our help, our Aitzer, and our shield. So this name, Aitzer, that is one of God's names that means strength, is the name God gave Eve.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that.
And as you can see from that word history, then his helper that was taken from his flesh, that woman molded and shaped by God's hand, is so much more than a lowly position that that sometimes our culture would assign her, that she really doesn't have her own identity, that she does everything her husband tells her to do, and she doesn't have a mind of her own, that's what the Bible says about women. But when you do what we just did, and you look at the original meaning, and you see how it's been used, and you take it in context, you can see that she was a strong and able companion that God put by Adam's side to rule and reign and steward the Garden of Eden.
Right.
So keep that in mind as we move forward. And now we're going to move up to Proverbs. And we're going to come to Proverbs 31. And I think Proverbs has that same cultural bias about women, that they're relegated to, you know, wives and mothers and domestic life. That's kind of what this is.
People have asked me before when I've said, oh, I work for Proverbs 31 Ministries. Oh, is that a ministry that's all about wives doing whatever their husbands tell them to do? I'm
like, and doesn't it make sense? Well, and that's where the misinterpretation of Proverbs 31 arises from, a misunderstanding of who wrote it, why it was written, and what it truly says about women. So we're going to answer those three questions right now.
Great.
So first we're going to look at why was it written, and really we're not looking at why was Proverbs 31 written. We're looking at why is Proverbs written, and we've spent 30 chapters in Proverbs. So we know that it celebrates, educates, and equips us on the virtue of wisdom, right? We know that we've learned that. But it's interesting that what we've also learned is God doesn't use a man to personify wisdom. He uses a woman. So right there, that's super important, that God used a woman to personify wisdom. Second, to whom was Proverbs 31 written? Well, Proverbs 31 is made up of two poems, and they were written by King Lemuel, but they were not from his heart, because the scripture tells us at the beginning, when Proverbs 31 opens, that they are inspired utterances from the king's mother. And that's really important to know, because that means this last chapter is written from a mother's heart, and not a man writing, defining what a wife should be. It's written from a mother's heart, passing on wisdom to her son about the kind of man, like how she should live, how he should live his life, and the kind of woman that he should choose to marry. So those two things, I think, have been misunderstood. So third now, and this is where we'll spend most of our time, what does Proverbs 31 really say about women? And we're going to focus on verses 10 through 22 today. That's the second part of that proverb. And in my NIV Bible, it entitles that a wife of noble character. Other translations say the virtuous woman, the excellent woman. I think you said another word that I didn't see, Melissa, when we opened, but a capable woman. Those are all words. But basically what we're seeing is Lemuel's mother, she is giving us a tangible picture. She's sort of bringing alive in a real picture. She's putting wisdom in action here, in other words, so we can see how it's lived out in the life of a real woman. So I'm going to start us with Proverbs 31:10, which says, a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than riches. And just as we did with helper, now we're going to take this word and we're going to see what kind of character does this woman have. And so if we go back in the Hebrew, the word here is it's Chayil. It's Chayil. And the best translation is valor. Mm. But you don't see that in any of these modern translations. But if you go back to the Orthodox Jewish Bible, you see this word. It says, who can find an eshet, that means woman, Chayil, a woman of valor, for her worth is far more than rubies, is far above rubies. So in Hebrew, that word Chayil means strength, sufficiency, wealth, and army. And it is nearly 100 times in the Old Testament we find it used in a military setting. So that's a really strong word, right, when it's describing. But in the modern English translations, you'll never see that word. And so why the difference, and does it matter? And I say, I'm going to tell you why the difference, and I'm going to tell you, I think it absolutely right. matters as to the way we look at women. And so this is, I did this study with my pastor's wife at the church I go to here in Charlotte, and she taught us that the Orthodox Jewish Bible is the only one that actually translates that word women of valor. So we need to do a linguistic study here and go, what happened that we lost valor and it's become right. virtue? And so In Old Testament times, if you looked at the word virtue, it had evolved to mean, what it meant was something that included the ideals of courage and strength and moral excellence. But today, it only is about moral excellence and goodness if you looked it up now in the Bible. So what happened? And what happened is words and their meanings sometimes change over time, and the meaning of virtue has changed. In Middle English, that word virtue was derived from the Latin word vir, which is means male. So, and we get our word virile from that. And at that time, that word, as I said, meant strength, manliness, power, and strong moral character. And that word virtue came first, and then the word valor came in the 14th century. So now a new word comes in, and that word means strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage. So now you have a new word that just means that. So if you go forward another couple hundred years to the 1600s to the King James Bible, are y'all following me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So now we're at the King James Bible. By that time, we find Eshet Chayel in Proverbs 31:10 translated virtuous woman. And that word virtuous no longer has the definition to include strength right. or courage or bravery, because that was the word valor. So now the King James translation will render valor, that word chayel, when referring to men and call them men of valor. Mm-hmm. But when it came to the places in scripture, which there are only two, where it's eshet chayel, meaning woman of valor, they changed it to virtue. The virtuous okay. woman. So it's just fascinating. And so if we take what we've learned today in this little mini word study, and we go back to Genesis 2:18 and Proverbs 31:10, the words helper, etzer, and woman of valor, eshet chayel, we see that they were intended to carry the idea of strength and courage and bravery as originally written. So what I look at this and say, God created us to be the helpers, the nurturers, the compassionate, the loving, but it's not just limited to that.
Right.
It's not just limited to come alongside our husband and our family and serve them their dinner and clean up and everything, but we're sometimes called to be the warrior that stands up and fights and defends for our family and our husband, and to be the strength and to protect them. And so I hope that from this lesson that we've learned, that women are to be strong and not weak, and they are to be brave and not fearful, and they are to be courageous and not cowardly. And this really came alive. I know you've been to Israel.
Right.
And we went to a Shabbat dinner.
Right, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. When we were in Israel. And if you're not familiar with Shabbat, it's the day of rest that lasts from sundown Friday evening to nightfall on Saturday. And every Friday evening, the families gather together. And at this event, which was just so precious for us to be a part of, every Friday, the husband will stand up and he will sing or recite this Eshet Chayel, this Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 22, to his wife in front of his children. And my daughter, who never cries, we had tears in our eyes watching him with such pride speak of the strength and beauty and wisdom of his wife, and see the face of the children listening. It's something I won't ever forget.
Wow.
And that's how important this is right. in the Jewish tradition, this Eshet Chayel. And so where else in God's word do we find this
right.
woman? And we find her in the book of Ruth. And this is such a powerful story, because nothing in Ruth's early years suggested she could ever be a woman of valor. She was a Moabite, a non-Jew. They thought of her as nothing. And she married into this Jewish family, and we meet her in the middle of a terrible famine. And after a decade of marriage, her father-in-law had died, and her brother-in-law had died, and her husband died. So these three women were alone. And she found herself widowed. Her mother-in-law said, I'm going back to Bethlehem, which is my homeland. And she said, I will go with you. I will follow you and I will go with you. The sister-in-law stayed and we don't ever know what happened to her. But when they got into Bethlehem, they were poor. They had nothing. And so Ruth had to work. And so she took a job gathering, threshing, and winnowing wheat for a man named Boaz. And in for the life of her story up to this point, she's not a wife, she's not a mother. She really is nothing like the Proverbs 31 woman that we read about right now. She didn't spend her days exchanging fine linens with merchants, and she didn't keep an immaculate home, and she had no children who called her blessed. But she worked all day in a field in the hot sun. And yet, this devotion to her mother-in-law and the hard work she did amazed the entire town, including the elders, who said that she was a very loyal, strong woman. And so when Ruth finally met Boaz, these are the words he spoke to her, Melissa. In Ruth 3:11, he said, "Everyone in town knows that you are a woman of valor." And those words, woman of valor, are the very same ones in 31:10, Eshet Chayil. And he called her that not because she checked off everything on the list in the Proverbs 31 woman list.
Right.
It's because of how she lived her life every day. Selfless, courageous, brave, compassionate, loving. She was wise. And then he took her as his wife. They had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse is the father of King David. Jesus traces his ancestry to King David.
Wow.
So this Moabite, heathen, non-Jew woman is now in the lineage of Jesus.
And you know, you said something that I think is important. When looking at Proverbs 31, a lot of times we will read it and look at all of those things she does and think, as a woman, I need to be checking those off, or like, oh, I'm not getting up burning the fire or the light early in the morning, or I'm not going out in the city gates and doing this. But you just mentioned with Ruth, she didn't have the checklist of all of that, but she was this Eshet Chayil.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that in my life. So I'm like, I am truly riveted and fascinated by this. It just makes so much sense when looking at this woman. She truly is a woman of strength.
She showed up every day, and all she did was show up every day and work in that field to earn the money needed to support her family. She didn't do anything else at that time. That's all she could do. It's just a beautiful story of all. Well, we'll go. Let us go and finish.
That's right.
And so, just don't miss the power of the story that we don't have to be perfect and do all these things in this list to be a woman of valor, to make a difference in the world. And God used this most unlikely woman to be an instrument of healing and provision in her mother-in-law's life, but also to be in this line of what brought the world redemption. And so, there are other women of valor in the Bible, and we shouldn't be surprised that we see Jewish women especially as women of valor, because they lived in enemy territory. They were surrounded. There was war going on around them. But it hasn't changed, because even though now our enemies are not flesh and blood, as Ephesians 6 tells us, God tells us we are in a spiritual battle. We are in spiritual warfare. And so we live in enemy-occupied territory, because it says Satan is the prince of this world that we live in. And so we, too, need to know that we can be strong and courageous women who fight in this world with the Lord on our side. And there's one woman, and I'm going to just bring her up briefly, but it's her name is Hadassah, but we know her as Esther. But she was an ordinary young Jewish girl taken into captivity by the Babylonian king. He fell in love with her, and he made her his queen. And she hid her identity because they were hated. The Jews were hated. And so, but she learned of, unbeknownst to the king, he signed an edict that ordered the slaughter of all the Jews in the Persian Empire. So Esther had to choose, do I hide my identity or do I go to the king, speak up, reveal who I am, and risk death? But after 3 days of fasting and praying, she decides to do the brave thing, and she goes before the king, and she set the stage for the most miraculous rescue of her people that never would have happened had she not been this brave woman. And like Ruth, she didn't look anything like a woman of valor when she started out, but she proved to be both an Etzer, the helper, and an Eshet Chayel, because she overcame the fear of death. She defied the concept of women being useful only for beauty and to be in the service of the and to serve the desires of men, which she had to live for a while with the king. But she acted with courage and bravery, and she saved her people. So both Ruth and Esther's strength was rooted in their faith in the one true God, and they both took personal risks because they feared the Lord. And so I want to close today with Proverbs 31:30, which says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And that fear, Melissa, I think a lot of us know, it's not this trembling and terror. Right. It's this humble reverence, which they both had for this God, for his power and his position. And they had tremendous love and respect, accompanied by a deep desire to please God. And so we come to fear the Lord when we come to know his character. And these two women knew the character of God. Ruth learned it from Naomi, her mother-in-law. And so we can't know his character unless we are in his word. We hide his word in our heart. We listen for his voice. That's how we come to believe who he is and who he says he is and what he will do, even when it's hard. And then if you go to Psalm 112:2, God not only reveals his character, but he invites us to be part of his work on earth. And it says, "How blessed is the man who fears the Lord," or woman, "who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty in the land." That's our legacy. The Lord wants us to be mighty in the land. That's a woman of valor, to be mighty in the land. And God fills the pages of Scripture with other women, not just the Proverbs 31 women, Ruth and Esther, but we see Deborah, Rahab, Hannah, Sarah, Hagar, all the Marys, Lydia, so many strong women. And they sought and obeyed God even when it was hard, even when it meant the risk of persecution and death. He used these ordinary women because of their heart for the Lord to do brave, courageous, extraordinary things. And they weren't perfect.
Right.
God showed their weakness, because he says in the New Testament, he tells us, so that in their weakness, he would be strong. Right. They would see his strength. So I just want to encourage everyone here that we are all Proverbs 31 women of valor. All we need to do is yield our lives to Christ and trust in him, because it's in that place our Abba Father will calm, settle, direct, transform, and empower us to be mighty in the land.
Wow, Wendy, all of this is so rich. I feel like I could take this teaching and then go spend like another week or a month.
It's what I did to prepare for this. I could have taught 50 minutes on this.
I honestly don't think anyone would have minded. right? Am I hearing that from you guys? You would have loved to have heard more. But I think when we view ourselves instead as this less significant than a man or something like that, when we view ourselves like that, that's not at all how God intended. To look at all these strong words, and you said so many of these words were words that usually are used for military or used for battle or something else, but to think of ourselves as women of valor, of noble character, strength, wisdom, virtuous, and then to hear other women in the Bible who, like you said, were not perfect, didn't always get it right, but they were rooted. Their strength was rooted in faith, and they desired to please God.
And they still came alongside men. This is not like woman power, not man power. It is not. That is not what today. I don't want to leave that way. I want to leave that we are, neither is above the other. Right. We are to respect each other and come alongside each other. And as a team, every place, Boaz and Ruth and the queen and the king, they all came together to do good and fight for good.
Right. That's great, Wendy. Thank you so much for this teaching.
I loved it.
It was great to have you back here with us at First Five. And as we close, I'd love to pray for us.
Thanks, Melissa.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much just for what we have heard today. Lord, truth from your word. And we do believe that your word, the Bible, is our truth, and that when we know it, when we know this truth, and when we live this truth, it truly does change everything. And we see that through the women that we learned about today in Scripture, how they knew the truth, they lived it, and it truly did change not only their lives, but in some cases, the lives of many, and in fact, the legacies that followed. Lord, thank you that you have brought us and created us. Lord, I pray that we will have this fear of you, this humble reverence. Help us to love you more every day, respect you more every day, and desire to please you more every day. God, thank you so much for Wendy and her willingness to be with us today. And Lord, I pray for all of our people who are listening to this teaching, God, may they be open to hear what you have to say to them through this. And Lord, if led, that they will go on to take notes and study even further more about really what it means to be a Proverbs 31 woman and what the book of Proverbs and the chapter of Proverbs 31 is really about. We love you, Jesus, so much. Thank you for everything. And it is in your precious name that we pray. Amen.